Although the first Grand Lodges were formed in England, Ireland and Scotland, Freemasonry was not limited to the British Isles. Within a short time of its formation in 1717, the Grand Lodge of England began to export Freemasonry abroad. It is rumoured that lodges were constituted in Spain, France, Holland and Belgium in the early 1720s, but there is no supporting evidence. The first two foreign lodges for which there is evidence were constituted in Gibraltar and Fort William, Calcutta, in 1728 and 1729. Freemasonry was spread abroad in three ways: by the issue of deputations to constitute lodges as a result of the receipt of petitions from local Masons, by the appointment of provincial Grand Masters for territories abroad with authority to constitute new lodges, which were then to be registered with the Grand Lodge, and by the constituting of travelling lodges in regiments of the army, permitting them to meet wherever the regiment was stationed. The Ancients' Grand Lodge and the Grand Lodge of Ireland issued many such travelling warrants, and although technically membership of the lodges was restricted to members of the regiment, many of those travelling lodges initiated civilian candidates when stationed abroad. When the regiment moved on to a new posting, the civilians left behind would in turn petition one of the home Grand Lodges to be constituted as a stationary lodge. The development of English and Irish and Scottish Freemasonry abroad closely follows the development of Britain as an imperial power. When new areas of the world were discovered or opened up after 1730, the arrival of settlers, merchants and the military usually brought with it the arrival of Freemasonry. In the same way, imperial decline was usually followed by lodges in the former colonies seeking Masonic independence from the home Grand Lodges and the setting up of their own sovereign and independent Grand Lodges. In Europe, English craft masonry was introduced into Belgium, Denmark, France, Germany, Gibraltar, Holland, Italy, Malta, Menorca, Russia, Switzerland and Turkey. Many of the lodges were short-lived or assumed independence, and many of the provincial Grand Masters appointed had no success in starting lodges. There were flourishing provincial Grand Lodges in Hamburg, Frankfurt, Hanover, Holland, Russia and Menorca. There are still flourishing district Grand Lodges and Cyprus, but the former district Grand Lodge of Malta hasn't he been reduced to the status of a reduced to the inspectorate, lodges having been transferred to England and having gone out of existence since the British withdrawal from Ireland. It is Freemasonry was introduced into North America by the appointment of Daniel Cox as provincial Grand Master in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania in 1730. Followed the appointment of Henry Price as provincial Grand Master for New England in 1733, and Grand Master New England 1733, by the Decker, Merrington used to introduce in free English Mountains of Indies. There are still flourishing, Russia and Minorca. There are still flourishing district Grand Lodges in Gibraltar and Cyprus and still flourishing North Hanover. Hanover, Holland, Russia, and Menorca. There are still flourishing district Grand Lodges in Gibraltar and Cyprus, but the former Cyprus and there are Hanover, Holland, Russia, and Menorca. There are still flourishing district Grand Lodges in Gibraltar, Cyprus, and Malta. In Hamburg, Frankfurt, Hanover, Holland, were flourishing provincial Grand Lodges in Hamburg, Frankfurt, Hanover, Holland, Frankfurt, Hanover, Holland, Russia, and Menorca. Still flourishing district Grand Lodges in Gibraltar and Cyprus, but Menorca. There are still flourishing district Grand Lodges in Gibraltar, there were flourishing provincial grand lodges in Hamburg, Frankfurt, Hanover, Holland, Russia, and Minorca. There are still flourishing district grand lodges. There are still flourishing district grand lodges in Gibraltar. Provincial grand lodges were established in Bengal in 1729, Bombay in 1764, Madras in 1767, Ceylon, now Sri Lanka, in 1810, the Punjab in 1868, and Northern India in 1951. It was in India that the truly universal nature of Freemasonry was to be shown. The first native initiated, of which records have survived, was Omdatul Omra, Nabob of the Carnatic, in 1775. The initiations of Indians did not, however, meet with universal support, and the lodges in India were to be bedeviled with problems over the subject for many years, some resolving, in a most un-Masonic manner, not to receive Indians as members. The matter was put to the Duke of Sussex as Grand Master in 1840 by the Provincial Grand Master for Bengal, James Grant. He received a very forthright reply from the Duke.
The initiation of Hindus is a question which has occupied His Royal Highness's attention for many years, and it has formed a part of his Masonic creed that provided a man believes in the existence of the great architect of the universe and in futurity, and extends that belief likewise to a state of rewards and punishments hereafter, such a person is fully competent to be received as a brother. Previously, however, to swearing any man to secrecy, it is necessary to ascertain what religion he professes, in order to obligate him in the most formal and solemn manner possible. When once admitted into the fraternity, all questions of religion cease.
The issue continued to rumble. A second problem was caused by the Indians themselves and revolved around the caste system and the tensions between the various Indian religions. Resolution of these issues came in the second half of the 19th century, and many Indians, regardless of caste or religion, flocked to join the craft. They were fully integrated within the lodges, the books which they regarded as holy being placed alongside the Bible on the master's pedestal. With the arrival of independence in 1947, a movement was begun for the erection of a Grand Lodge of India. Surprisingly, this did not meet with universal support, and it was not until 1961 that the Grand Lodge was formed, and even then, not all lodges under the Home Grand Lodges elected to join it. There are still English District Grand Lodges in Bengal, Bombay, Madras, Northern India, and the island of Sri Lanka. A number of lodges in Pakistan, formerly the Punjab, also elected to stay under the Grand Lodge of England after the partition of the subcontinent, and formed a flourishing District Grand Lodge until Freemasonry was banned by the state in 1973. Surprisingly, the first lodge formed in China was the Amity Lodge, constituted at Canton in 1767. It was short-lived, however, and English Freemasonry did not become properly established until 1844, and the appointment of a provincial Grand Master, Samuel Rawson, in 1847. English Freemasonry in the trading stations on the China coast flourished to such an extent that the District Grand Lodge was divided in 1875 into two districts, Northern China and Hong Kong and South China. The English and Scottish Grand Lodges had considerable success in establishing the craft in Hong Kong, but encountered the same problem as Indian lodges over the question of a transitory population. All Masonic activity in Hong Kong was brought to a halt by the Japanese invasion during the Second World War, although the brethren who were interned in the civilian prison camp managed to continue their meetings at great personal risk, and even to plan for the revival of the district when it became obvious that the hostilities would soon end. Once normality was restored, they were soon faced with the problems of the mainland lodges, which, having survived the war, did not survive the communist takeover. Many went out of existence, but a number transferred to Hong Kong where they still meet, except the Northern Lodge of China, number 570, which continued to meet in Shanghai without government interference until it was erased by Grand Lodge in 1960 because of a lack of members. A similar situation had occurred in Japan, where a district Grand Lodge had been established in 1873, but became extinct when the Japanese entered the Second World War. Attempts to revive it after 1945 were unsuccessful, and only one lodge, at Kobe, survives and now comes under the present district Grand Lodge for Hong Kong and the Far East. In the Eastern Archipelago, a provincial Grand Master for Sumatra was appointed in 1796 and had two lodges under his charge. With the exploration of Malaysia and the colonization of Singapore, sufficient lodges came into existence for a district Grand Lodge of the Eastern Archipelago to be formed by the appointment of a district Grand Master in 1858. The success of the district was brought to a halt by the events of the Pacific War, but Freemasonry survived and quickly re-established itself and now has a flourishing, if widely spread, district of almost 30 lodges. A similar circumstance occurred in Burma, where a district Grand Master was first appointed in 1868. Having re-established itself after the Second World War, the district faced possible extinction when a strict Muslim government came to power. But when the nature of Freemasonry was explained to the government, the district was allowed to continue, and still continues, without interference. The lodges in Iraq and the Arabian Gulf were not so fortunate. English Freemasonry had been taken there during the First World War, but when the British Mandate ceased and the various states became independent, the strict Muslim governments placed a total ban on Freemasonry. The earliest record of a Masonic meeting in Australia was an irregular one in Sydney in 1803. Regular Freemasonry was introduced into New South Wales by two Irish military lodges working between 1813 and 1820. The first English lodge came in 1828, followed by the appointment of a provincial Grand Master in 1839. By the time of the formation of the United Grand Lodge of New South Wales in 1888, some 92 English lodges had been warranted in New South Wales. English Freemasonry came to South Australia in 1838 by a rather strange route. The South Australian Lodge of Friendship had been constituted in London in 1834 by Freemasons in London who were planning to go to South Australia and wished to continue their Freemasonry when they arrived. The lodge finally arrived in 1838. A provincial Grand Master was appointed in 1847, and by the time of the formation of the Grand Lodge of South Australia in 1884, 22 English lodges had been created in the province. The first English lodge in Victoria was warranted in 1841 and was followed by the appointment of a provincial Grand Master in 1853. Victoria proved fertile soil for English Freemasonry, 114 English lodges being warranted to meet there by the time the Grand Lodge of Victoria was formed in 1889. One lodge, Combermere No. 752, chose not to join the new Grand Lodge and still works under the United Grand Lodge of England. Although the first English lodge in Western Australia was warranted in 1842, progress was slow, and it was not until 1887 that a district Grand Master was appointed. When the Grand Lodge of Western Australia was formed in 1900, there were only 13 English lodges in the state, and one of them, Plantagenet No. 1454, chose to remain under the United Grand Lodge of England. It was the Irish again who introduced Freemasonry into Tasmania in 1827. But one of the resulting lodges changed its allegiance to England in 1844, leading to the formation of three further English lodges and the appointment of a provincial Grand Master in 1856. A further 12 lodges were warranted by England before the formation of the Grand Lodge of Tasmania in 1890. Queensland became a separate state in 1859, the same year as the first English lodge was warranted to meet in Brisbane. A district grandmaster was appointed in 1862, and the district was to continue in existence until 1959. An attempt was made to form a Grand Lodge of Queensland in 1904, but failing to receive the support of the majority of the English, Irish and Scottish lodges in the states, it was not officially recognised. The situation was remedied in 1921, when a further vote was held and the majority of the lodges agreed to join with the Grand Lodge to form the United Grand Lodge of Queensland. Six English lodges chose to remain under England, hence the continuance of the English District Grand Lodge for so long a period after the formation of the local Grand Lodge. Two of those lodges, Port Curtis number 2255 and Geraldton number 3544, still remain on the English register. In New Zealand, it is believed that the first Masonic meeting held in the South Island was organised by the crews of some whalers in 1837. English Freemasonry came to the South Island with the warranting of a lodge at Dunedin in 1860. In the North Island, the first Masonic activity was the attendance of a number of brethren in their regalia at the laying of the foundation stone of St Paul's Church, Auckland, in 1841. This was followed by the warranting of an English and an Irish lodge in 1842. English provincial, later district grand lodges, were established in Auckland in 1877, Canterbury in 1858, Otago and Southland in 1864, Wellington in 1875, Westland and Nelson in 1870. A Grand Lodge of New Zealand was formed in 1890, but had the support of only 40% of the English, Irish and Scottish lodges. Harmony was restored in 1897, when the Grand Lodge was recognised by England. The Grand Lodge of New Zealand flourished, but the lodges which had chosen not to join it in 1890 continued under the home Grand Lodges. The five English districts were amalgamated into two, one each for the North and South Islands in 1973, and maintain a happy coexistence with the Grand Lodge of New Zealand. In 1730, Randolph Took was appointed Provincial Grand Master for South America, but there is no evidence that he ever acted upon his patent. It was not until 1813 that an English lodge was established in British Guiana. A district grand lodge was set up in 1899 and now has 12 lodges. There were four English lodges in Haiti between 1809 and 1824, and a provincial grand master was appointed in 1817. He was followed by the appointment of a provincial grand master for Colombia in 1824, although there were no English lodges in that country, the only English lodge to meet there existing only from 1848 to 1857. English Freemasonry was introduced into Argentina in 1853, and a district grand lodge of Argentina was set up in 1861. Its name was changed to South America Southern Division, and it now has 11 lodges in Argentina and one each in Uruguay and Chile. Between 1890 and 1912, a number of English-speaking lodges were set up in Brazil by its Grand Orient. To give them a collective identity, they were placed under their own Grand Council, subordinate to the Grand Orient, in 1912. In 1935, they separated themselves amicably from the Grand Orient, were taken onto the English register, and were formed into the District Grand Lodge of South America Northern Division, which still exists with 10 lodges in Brazil. English Freemasonry was introduced into the West Indies and Caribbean by the appointment of a provincial Grand Master for Antigua in 1738 and Barbados in 1740. And the setting up of a lodge in Antigua in 1738 and Jamaica in 1739. Numerous appointments of provincial grand masters were made for various islands in the Leeward group, but they did little to promote the craft, which had its greatest success in Jamaica. There are now district grand lodges for Bahamas and Turks, Barbados and the East Caribbean, Jamaica and Trinidad, a grand inspectorate for Bermuda, two lodges in the Virgin Islands and one in Dominica. Although the interior of the continent was largely unexplored, three provincial grand masters were appointed for Gambia, the Cape Coast and the coast of Africa and the British Islands in America in 1736 and 1737. None of those areas had any lodges, nor were any to appear on the African continent before 1800. A provincial Grand Master for South Africa was appointed in 1801, and by 1876 the district, as it had by then become, was so widespread that it was divided into central, eastern and southern divisions. There had been a flourishing province under the Grand East of the Netherlands, the members of which in 1961 formed the Grand Lodge of Southern Africa. The English, Irish and Scottish lodges in the area have been given the opportunity of joining with it to form a united Grand Lodge, but have always declined, preferring to remain under the home Grand Lodges. A short-lived provincial Grand Lodge for Mauritius was formed in 1811, but has ceased to function by 1830. St. Helena received provincial Grand Masters in 1801 and 1803, but the single lodge on the island did not survive the second appointment. The present St. Helena Lodge No. 488 was warranted in 1843. Seven English lodges were formed in Egypt between 1862 and 67, and a district Grand Lodge of Egypt and the Sudan was formed in 1867, but did not survive the Suez Affair and its aftermath in the 1950s. The Sudanese part survived into the 1960s when Freemasonry was banned. The development of English Freemasonry in Africa parallels the exploration and settlement of the continent. Today, in addition to the three districts in South Africa, there are others for East Africa, formed in 1926, Ghana, formed in 1930, Natal, formed in 1882, Nigeria, formed in 1913, the Orange Free State, formed in 1932, Sierra Leone and the Gambia, formed in 1949, Southwest Africa, formed in 1958, the Transvaal, formed in 1895, Zambia, formed in 1967, but formerly under Rhodesia, and Zimbabwe, formerly Rhodesia, formed in 1929. The history of English Freemasonry in Canada is complex, involving intense rivalry between lodges and provinces under the Premier and the Ancients' Grand Lodges, and problems of communications both within Canada and between the provinces and the Grand Lodges in London. The first provincial Grand Master was appointed for Cape Breton and Louisbourg in 1746. Nova Scotia received both a provincial Grand Master under the Premier Grand Lodge and a warranted provincial Grand Lodge under the Ancients in 1757. Much of the early spread of the craft was achieved by military lodges and civilian lodges being constituted by the Canadian provincial Grand Masters and those in America before independence. The Canadian provincial Grand Lodges had periods of great activity and others when they almost disappeared. With a certain amount of right on their side, they complained bitterly of their neglect by the English Grand Lodges. In Ontario, matters came to a head in 1855 when, angered by their problems with England, they declared themselves an independent Grand Lodge. The action of the Ontario Lodges was soon followed by the other provinces, resulting in the formation of Grand Lodges in New Brunswick in 1867, Nova Scotia in 1869, Quebec in 1869, British Columbia in 1871, and Prince Edward Island in 1875. The flourishing District Grand Lodge of Newfoundland refused to follow suit and remains under the United Grand Lodge of England to this day. Similarly, the Royal Standard Lodge, No. 398 Halifax, and the St. Paul's Lodge, No. 374, and St. George's Lodge, No. 440, in Montreal, chose to remain English. The events surrounding the secession of the Ontario Lodges led the United Grand Lodge of England to consider the best method of dealing with moves towards independence. The system was gradually evolved, whereby the home Grand Lodges would poll their lodges in any area expressing a wish for independence. If a majority voted in favour, the inevitable was faced and the new Grand Lodge was quickly accorded recognition as a regular Grand Lodge. The home Grand Lodges would recognise the new Grand Lodge's territorial rights by refusing to warrant any new lodges within its boundaries. In return, the new Grand Lodge agreed to allow any of the English, Irish or Scottish lodges, which did not wish to join with them, to continue meeting under the home Grand Lodges without any interference. With the appearance of new Grand Lodges throughout the world, a new problem arose, that of regular and irregular Freemasonry. The Grand Lodge of England had simply accepted the appearance of the Irish and Scottish Grand Lodges without question, and a happy and cooperative relationship has always existed between the three. England's first problem arose in 1756, when the lodges in the Netherlands declared themselves an independent Grand Lodge. Relations were strained between the two until 1770, when a treaty was signed in which England acknowledged the sovereignty of the Grand East of the Netherlands and its territorial rights within its national boundaries. A similar situation arose in 1771 with the Grand Lodge in Berlin. European Freemasonry had developed along different lines from that in Great Britain, particularly in its adoption of additional degrees, and certain elements within European Freemasonry were using it for political and anti-clerical ends. These problems were to become worse in the 19th century and were complicated in the 1870s by the Grand Orient of France, which had been recognised for over 100 years, dropping all reference to a supreme being in its rituals and removing the volume of the sacred law from its lodges. They were immediately informed by England that unless these changes were reversed, recognition would be withdrawn and English Masons would be banned from attending meetings of lodges under the Grand Orient or of lodges at which members of that obedience were present. The Grand Orient chose to go its own way and has ever since been regarded as irregular by all regular Grand Lodges. England had a three-tier system in the 19th century in its relations with other Grand Lodges. Full recognition with an exchange of official representatives, fraternal correspondence where there was some doubt as to the origins or regularity of a Grand Lodge, meaning essentially that the respective Grand Secretaries exchanged correspondence without full recognition being given, and non-recognition, which meant that no English Freemason could have a Masonic contact with members of an unrecognised Grand Lodge. This made life complicated for an English Mason who travelled abroad and wished to attend meetings. After the end of the First World War, matters had become so complex, with new Grand Lodges springing up all over the world, that the three British Grand Lodges held a conference and agreed basic principles upon which they would recognise new Grand Lodges. These were adopted by the United Grand Lodge in 1929 and have continued to be the guidelines for deciding questions of recognition ever since. So far, we have outlined the history of Grand Lodge and its development both at home and abroad, but what of its individual lodges? Their story must be the basis of our next chapter.